Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. 34 after. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My pleasure. Dropping books here everywhere. It's my pleasure to be back with you. And I'm dropping Jack Goldrick's books. And it's not my fault, folks. He's got so doggone many of these things. He's like a book factory. Every time I turn around, he's got a new outstanding book out. And Jack Goldrick is the leader of an organization called Nano Veritas Group, which is a consulting organization. He's the author of Investing in Nanotechnology. He's the guy who really introduced us to nanotechnology, the little teeny tiny nanites and little processing guys that's in our paint and maybe even one day will be in our bodies. He's also the author of The Next Big Thing is Really Small, and his new book is called Jump the Curve. And he's here to talk to us about something that you probably hadn't thought about lately. And Jack Goldrick, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
It's good to have you back. We're going to talk about unlearning in a little bit. Now, I've got a couple of thoughts. You won't be surprised, Jack, to hear that I've got a couple of thoughts on unlearning myself. But before we get into that, I want to spend a couple of minutes with you. I'm asking my guests to give us their thoughts on what is being debated right now in order to contribute to the solution of this financial crisis we've gotten ourselves into. And I just had Ruth King on. She gave us her thoughts on this. And I'd like your thoughts, Jack. What do you think about what's going on? The government is debating and re-debating some kind of a bailout / rescue plan. It's not known yet whether it's going to be a bailout or whether it's going to be a rescue plan or whether it's going to be an investment or whatever. What are your thoughts?
Well, first, I think that the entire American public should not just look at the financial sector. They should look at the political class and their responsibility in creating this mess. You know, the fact that both Republicans and Democrats are now holding hearings what went wrong, when in fact they should be pointing the finger at themselves, and they have to understand that they had an opportunity to address this issue years ago, and they didn't do anything. Secondly, the whole I'm glad that they voted it down yesterday, and, you know, it's too bad what happened with the markets going down 800 points. But from my perspective, there are two really big unanswered questions, and they are, one, what assets is the government actually going to buy, and then, two, what price are we going to pay for those? And
right.
Here's what's interesting
in
the legislation.
And pardon me, Jack, and three, is that the end of it?
Well, that's right. That's right. But, you know, to the first two questions, they said, oh, you know what? We'll let the Treasury Department figure those out, and we'll give them 45 days to do that. Now, if you do the math, 45 days puts us when?
After
the election.
Mm-hmm.
And they know they want to do that after the election, because who's going to
And you're not talking presidential politics. You're talking Congress and presidential.
Yep. Congress and presidential, that because they know who's ultimately going to end up really getting stuck with it, you and I, the taxpayer, and they want to be safely ensconced back in office before the full pain is evident. And
right.
I want to see those numbers before anything passes.
Well, you know, your evaluation, I think, is pretty darn close to what it seems to me that members of Congress are hearing from their constituents. Aren't you proud of Americans for getting into this weedy discussion that they're having and realizing that this is something the government created, and if they created this problem if they contributed to creating this problem, why would we be turning to the government to solve this problem? I mean, that's ridiculous. Aren't you proud of the average American voter who's calling in and saying, you know what, we don't like this?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and we had one senator up here in Minnesota say, "Oh, the calls were running 1,000 to 1 against it," and he still voted for it. It's like, hello, you know, there's a lot of common sense and wisdom out in the public. And
well, you know, remember that the SNL crisis was over; those banks failed, and then the government got involved. The dot coms turned into dot bombs, and none of those people got bailed out.
That's right.
And we're still here, right?
Exactly. One of the dangerous things, I think, is that, I mean, if we do bail it out, where does it stop? I mean,
that's what I'm worried about. I really think that there may be another shoe or two to drop, and this isn't the end of it. I like this. I think what happened this week is actually a good example of how democracy works. Stand by. We're going to be right back with Jack Oldrich right after these messages. We're going to talk about unlearning when Jack gets back with us.
In the white room with black curtains, near the station.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the show and the articles and the archives and the Brain Trust members and all the things that we do here. And, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz.biz. Hope you'll check those out, both of those websites out, and use them to your advantage. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us, use our stuff. Jack Oldrich is our guest. He's our good friend, the author of Jump the Curve. That's the new book, isn't it, Jack?
That's the new book, yes.
50 Essential Strategies to Help Your Company Stay Ahead of Emerging Technologies, Jump the Curve. Jack, I know you want to talk about unlearning, and one of the things that I say when I talk to audiences, on my show I've done this, and as well as speeches that I give, I tell my audience that 97.25% of all the things that you know, you probably learned in the 20th century. And most of that's obsolete now. What do you think?
I think that's absolutely right, and that's a great way to frame it. In the whole process,
we're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. We're in the 21st century.
That is exactly right. And to give you a quote, this is just scientific and technical knowledge is doubling every 7 years. So what that means is everything that we know today in just 14 years will only represent 25% of what we'll know in the future. And there's going to be so much new information coming at us, and this is particularly relevant in the healthcare field or any sector that deals with healthcare. There's so much new genomics information, stem cell research, biotechnology, nanotechnology, and what that's going to require people to do is to unlearn some of the things they think they know. As new information becomes available, you have to make space for that in your brain. And it sounds like it's something that's easy to do, but it is incredibly difficult. Let me just give you one quick story. This is 20 years ago. A young physician came before an august body of doctors and said, I think that ulcers are caused by bacteria. He was laughed off the stage. Mm-hmm. Came back the next year and said, I think that I'm now convinced of it. He was booed off the stage. Mm. And that is because all of these doctors knew in their mind that ulcers were caused by stress and spicy food.
Right.
But that was wrong. You know, he won the Nobel Prize a couple of years ago, but it took 20 years.
And so he looked back at all those other guys and went, nan, 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 nan.
Yeah, exactly. But it took 20 years for the medical profession to unlearn what they thought they knew, and there are a lot of cases in business that we're going to have to unlearn. And that's what – I haven't written this next book, but that's what it's going to be about.
Well, I'm glad you've done it, and we'll be glad to contribute whatever we can to your research on that, because I think that's very important. One of the things I've been saying for a long time, Jack, is that the only thing different about today than 20 years ago or even 1,000 years ago is not the change, because change is not really any different. A computer is just a fancy wheel, if you think about it. The difference between today and 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 100 years ago is not the change, it's the velocity of change.
That's absolutely
because right. a nanite is just a teeny tiny little cog, isn't it? I mean, that's all it is. It's just writ small, it's writ new, and so that's what's got everybody so, and I've been saying this for a long time, Jack, that's what's got everybody so agitated right now. When I was coming up as a young pup, Jack, people could still create a strategy or a product or whatever and expect that campaign or whatever it might be to be good and to make you a living and to be serve you well for at least 1 year, maybe three, maybe five, maybe even to the point where you could give it to your child.
Mm-hmm.
In the 21st century, that's all out the window. Like you said,
that is
7 years. And you know what? That 7 years that you were talking about a minute ago, that's only for some things. Some things are changing
right.
quicker than that. Some things are changing in 90 days.
You know, the premise of my whole book, Jump the Curve, is there are 9 technologies that are doubling every 6 to 18 months. But here's how I try to explain it to my young son, who's 7 years old. He just lost his first tooth, and I said to Sean, you have to understand exponential growth. And I thought, here's the perfect opportunity. I said, what would you rather have from the tooth fairy? A dollar for every tooth that you get, or a penny for the first one, 2 for the second, and doubles. All babies have 20 teeth. And he said, the dollar. And I said, no, Sean, you have to learn how to jump the curve, and you have to understand exponential growth. Do you know how much his 20th tooth would be worth? The answer is $5,242.88. That's the power of exponential growth, and that's the future people have to start preparing for, because things are doubling really quickly.
Yep.
And unless you understand that, you're not going to be prepared for the change that's coming.
I've been thinking for a long time. I thought for a long time about what we're talking about right now, Jack, and my thoughts about, you know, the velocity of change and all that. And you know, there's some things that being an old fossil like me is not good in the modern marketplace. Some of this new stuff that's coming along, some of this social networking and all that, the kids have got to jump on me on that. But you know, sometimes it's good to have gray hair when you can have a perspective on how things were and how things are now. And what I've come up with is this. Well, actually, I'm going to tell you when we come back. I'm going to tell you, and folks, you've heard me say this before. When we come back, I'm going to give you what I consider to be my formula, my little mantra that you can use that I think will help you deal with what Jack's talking about. And I would love to have his thoughts on it. And we'll do that right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingham. Stay with us. Jack Oldrich is our guest. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingham, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Jack Oldrich, one of the smartest guys that I know. The book is called Jump the Curve, 50 Essential Strategies to Help Your Company Stay Ahead of Emerging Technologies. And Jack, tell us how we can find you and the books.
The easiest way to reach me is my website is jumpthecurve.net. That's the book on Jump the Curve, obviously. And then I've started a new website on unlearning, and that's unlearning101.com. So jumpthecurve.net.
And we look forward to the new book, Unlearning. Is that going to be the title of the new book, you think?
It's going to be called Forget About It, The Art of Unlearning.
I love that. Forget About It. I love that. Well, all right. Well, let us know what we can do to help. And we expect to launch that on this show, by the way, as we've launched your other books in the last few years. Okay. I promise you, I would tell you what I've just determined is the best way to think about. See, it's one thing to say, you know, to unlearn things. But when you tell people that, I think sometimes, Jack, some people, especially old fossils like me, think that means that I can't keep doing what I've been doing. You know, it means that I can't be in the industry that got me to where I am today, whatever that might be. And I think that's the wrong attitude. I know that's not what you're saying, but mm-hmm. some people do. So here's what I say. It's okay to fall in love with what you do, but you can't fall in love with how you do it. And my point is, and folks, you heard me say this 100 times, You can still sell shoestrings after all these years if that's what you love, but you better be selling them in a 21st century way. What do you think, Jack?
I think you're absolutely right, and I just wrote about this morning on my website, and I was talking about the cold call, and I know that there are a lot of salespeople who pride themselves on being able to pick up the phone and call anybody, but you shouldn't do that in today's environment, that there are so many resources where you can find out at least something about every potential customer. You can Google them. You can go to LinkedIn, the new networking site. There are ways to find out things. So you can still call and be a salesperson, but you can just be a much better and more effective person. Here's another example, Jim. Do you know how Dunkin' Donuts is now going to start advertising to people in some of their stores? They're using facial recognition technology.
Huh. Wow.
They're essentially using a camera to just see if people are paying attention to their ads on their sort of flat panel displays in their stores. And if they are, they will put up an ad targeted to them. And they'll know that if it's a male or a female and roughly the age. And
they're not going to take your picture. This is basically just going to be sort of your profile kind of thing.
Yeah, that's right.
Your countenance a little bit, maybe.
Yeah, that's right. And so and I suspect that there might be some privacy issues or people might not sort of like this technology, but they're at least exploring new ways to reach out to their customers. The way they see it is they're trying to, you know, instead of making everyone look at the same ad, figure out what ad, you know, people might actually be interested in.
And then another way that I've been talking about this is, you know, for most of the 20th century, small businesses went after customers the way big businesses go after them, with a shotgun approach, by saying, okay, world, here I am, come buy what I've got. Well, you know what? If the world came to your small business, you couldn't serve all of them. You don't need the world to be successful. So small business owners in the 21st century have got to say, okay, all you folks over there, don't worry, you know, have fun at Walmart. I don't need you, but you six people over here, I need you to come in to see me because I got what you need. And that's the new paradigm, as Joel Barker might say. That's the new paradigm, and I say new. It shouldn't be all that new, but it is for a lot of people for how we attract customers. And the good news is the media, the advertising media will help you do that. Radio will, TV will, newspapers will. They'll help you target those people.
That's exactly right. I mean, unless you understand, again, bringing it back to how technology is changing things, there are going to be so many new tools that are going to be available to small and medium-sized businesses. But they have to be aware of those first, and then secondly, when they do become available, that people are going to have to change some of their habits. So
they're going to have to unlearn, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. So your point is they're going to still be doing the same thing, the thing that they love, but as you so eloquently put it, how they do it is what is going to have to change. And that it's one of these things that sounds relatively easy to do, but it's a lot more difficult, and I'm just as guilty of not unlearning as is the average person. So
absolutely. We all are. Hey, Jack, it's been fun. Give us the website one more time.
Unlearning101.com, and then my other book, jumpthecurve.net.
All right, sounds good. Hey, thanks, Jack, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jim.
Jack Uldrich, ladies and gentlemen, ULDRICH. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, but I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.